I'd like to hear him sing that song again. Woo! Glory. That's a great song. That's the first time I've ever heard that song. Amen. I hope you're excited about being here this morning. I know I am. I don't know where Zach is. Zach is traveling with me this summer. A young man is traveling with me. If you see him, he's back there somewhere. He's traveled with me this summer, so if you see him, just say hi to Zach. He's 17 years old. His mom came to me about the time I was going to her one Sunday night, and she said, I have a question to ask you, and I said, I have a question to ask you, and I said, why don't you ask me? And she said, would it be all right if Zach traveled with you this summer? And I said, well, I was about ready to ask you if Zach could travel with me this summer. So God worked it out, and it was a blessing because I did tear up my knee. I dislocated it 2 weeks ago. And I said in Sunday school, when I fell, my knee went out this way. And my degree's in sports medicine. All I knew I had to do was get it put back in place before the adrenaline kicked in and the muscles tightened up. And I did. And I said I turned every shade of white there was when I pushed it back into place, and we packed it in ice, and we've been on the road ever since. I have not been to a doctor, and my leg's getting better, but with my degree in sports medicine, I figured, you know, all of us, physician, heal thyself, trainer, heal thyself. So just continue to pray for me. My leg is getting... Today is the first day I've been able to get my dress shoes on. I've been preaching in tennis shoes. And today is the first day I've been able to get my dress shoes on. That's a blessing. So it's a blessing to be here. Brother Savatsky, boy, I tell you, I try to figure out how to say that a whole bunch of times. And I practice and practice, and I still can't get it. But it's Brother Savatsky, right? And it's a privilege to be here. I did remember meeting him several years ago. And I meet lots of preachers. And I always say, hey, if you ever need anything done with the buses, I always hand them a brochure. And I hand thousands of them out constantly. But I've seen him at our conferences before. And I always say hi to him and encourage him to have me. So he finally decided to have me. Isn't it a blessing? No. It's a blessing to me. But I love your preacher. I love your church. It was good to see Kim and Jim and Kim here. I met them many years ago up at Shalom Baptist. They was just getting started in the bus ministry. And they came to our bus conference, and I fell in love with them guys. And I knew they had moved down here, but I thought they went to Sycamore. And then they're there, and I said, whoa, praise the Lord, they're here. And I said, it's a blessing to see them again. I just want to share my testimony with you for a few minutes, and then I'll get right into it. The Lord called me into the full-time Christian service in 1980. I was the athletic trainer at Saginaw Valley State University. And I moved up here in 1978, in January of 78, to be the first full-time trainer at Saginaw Valley State University. My degree was in sports medicine. I went to school on a full athletic scholarship at Eastern Kentucky University. I played sports all my life. I love basketball. And I coached basketball for 30 years. I just retired about 3 years ago from coaching basketball. And we started going to First Baptist Church in June of 1978. We had looked for a church and looked for a church, and God led us to First Baptist Church. Preacher asked me if I would get involved in the bus ministry, teaching 4- and 5-year-olds. And my wife and I both said yes, and I had to go get my hair cut. My hair was a little long. It was on my shoulders, and I had a full beard. So I went and got it because my preacher asked me to get involved in the bus ministry. And I figured because he asked me, it was the right thing to do. I didn't say, preacher, let me think about it, let me pray about it. I figured he had prayed about it, and it was the right thing to do, folks. If your preacher asks you to do something, I'm sure he's prayed about it, and it's the right thing to do. Just say, I'll be glad to, preacher. And we got involved in the bus ministry. We taught 4- and 5-year-olds for 2 years. And then I became a bus captain in 1980. I took a bus route, was running 13. The young man that was on that route was leaving the church, and he would run up to a door, stick a flyer in the door, run back and get in his truck and leave. He never talked to anybody. And he wondered why his route didn't grow. He was discouraged. I went with him one Saturday, and, you know, I didn't know anything about the bus ministry. And as we got talking, he said, my heart's just out in it. So he left. And preacher said, would you take that route? He said, I want you to build our inner city bus route. And I said, I'll be glad to. And in 1980, I went into full-time Christian service. I left Saginaw Valley. I called my parents and I told my dad, I said, Dad, I'm leaving the college. I'm going to become a preacher. And my dad cussed me out. My dad didn't want anything to do with me. I called my brother. And my brother's a multimillionaire in Lexington. And I told him the same thing. He says, you're a fool. I called my wife's parents. They have Baptist preachers in their side of the family, and they try to talk me out of it. And I went back to my wife, and I said, sweetheart, are we doing the right thing? And we prayed, and God said, you're doing the right thing. And I took over a bus route. I was running 13. Went on staff at First Baptist Church. I was on staff for 13 years. And I saw that route grow from 13 young people to a high day of 719. I now still run 4 buses on that same route. We bring in close to 200 boys and girls every Sunday. And I'm not there most of the time. Next Sunday will be my first time being home since May on a Sunday. I have tremendous workers. Some of them have been with me for 30 years. They go calling on for my route, and I've got some young people taking over some parts of the route. And I text the young lady that runs my bus route for me, and I said, how are we doing? She said, great, Brother Mitchell. I said, how are you doing? She says, I'm loving every minute. She's 22 years old. And God has led us to this point in our life. All 3 of my children are in full-time Christian work. My daughter, her husband, my 3 grandkids are missionaries in Ghana, West Africa. They've started 3 churches. They're on their 3rd term. My middle daughter is our RU secretary. She helps work my bus route. My wife is Pastor Willette's secretary. And my son's assistant pastor in Knoxville, Tennessee. And my oldest daughter, when she came back off her survey trip to Africa, she said, Dad, thanks for keeping me in the bus ministry. It prepared me for the mission field. I love all 3 of my children. They're all serving God. And my wife teaches 2 inner city girls classes. She runs about 40 in each one of them. Nobody else will teach those classes. That's why she loves her ministry. She won't travel with me because she loves her girls. She has the girls that are pregnant at 9 and 10, 11 years old. She now is teaching the 3rd generation young ladies now. And she runs about 80 in those 2 classes, 40 each. And she wouldn't give it up. She said, that's my ministry. And she serves God faithfully. I mean, I love my wife. I got home, I told your preacher, I said, I got home to be, for the first time Friday night, to sleep in my bed since May, and I was excited. And I said, I could have came down last night, but I thought 2 nights in my bed would be wonderful because I won't be in my bed again for a long time. And, you know, the Lord has been so good to us, and I love traveling. I love seeing the little bus kids come in and their faces light up. I love seeing the church that loves the bus kids. Folks, never quit on the bus kids. Never quit on them. The day you quit the bus ministry is the day the church will die. It really is. I've seen it across America. They say it's too expensive. The insurance is too much. The fuel's too much. They quit, and I watch their churches just go downhill. Don't quit, folks. Those bus kids need you. Every one of you. You say, well, I don't go bus calling. But you're here to pray for those bus kids. You put money in the tithe to run that bus. You pray for them. Those kids need you. They need somebody because the next generation's coming up. They took a survey and it was in the newspaper. My bus route's the 15th most dangerous area in the United States. We've had 21 people killed in Saginaw this year. 15 of them have been killed in my area, my bus route. I just had a 4-year-old girl get killed last week. A drive-by shooting. I had a young man. I got home. And I went by the house on Wednesday because I was just passing through town and I heard that there was a shooting last Wednesday. A 5-year-old boy. His name's Mello. I heard his house got shot up. And I said, Lord, please don't let it be Mello. And I drove down there. And I came around the corner and there's Mello riding his bicycle. I was so excited. And I stopped and said, Mello, who got shot? And he said, my uncle. I said, where'd he get shot at? And he took me over to the pool of blood that had dried on the concrete. That's what these kids are living in, folks. You say, it's not that bad here. No. But it could be. We've got to break that chain, folks. And the only way is not government intervention. It's people getting saved. And these kids getting their life changed. And their parents getting their life changed. That's how you're going to break that intervention. It's how you're going to break the chain. But you know what? We got to keep doing it. We got to keep doing it. Luke chapter 16 talks about two people. Talks about a rich man. It talks about Lazarus. The rich man had everything he wanted, folks. He had all the money. He had the prestige. He had a fancy house, most likely, because he had gates around his house. He probably had servants. But he didn't have Jesus. Then the Bible talks about Lazarus. It talks about how Lazarus was a beggar. And how Lazarus came to the gate of the rich man. And he laid at the gate of the rich man, just desiring to get the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table so he could eat and survive. And he said the body of Lazarus was full of sores, and the dogs came and licked his sores. The Bible says both of them died. It says the rich man went to hell, and Lazarus went to heaven. Rich man only asked a couple things. He said, one, let Lazarus come back, take his finger, dip it in water, and touch my tongue so I might be cooled for a second. And then he said, send Lazarus back to my brethren, to my father's house, so my brethren can get saved. They don't need to come here. Send him back. They would believe somebody from the dead. Abraham said, it can't happen. If they don't listen to the prophets and the priest, I put it this way, if they don't listen to the preacher and the Sunday school teacher and the bus captain, the soul winner, they're not going to get saved. Two men, one went to heaven, one went to hell. This morning I want to talk to you about a couple young people that used to ride my Sunday school bus. The first young man, his name was Anthony. Anthony got saved because his little brother Dexter started riding the Sunday school bus. One Saturday afternoon I was out bus calling. And I saw this little boy, 6-year-old boy, playing outside. And I saw his dad sitting over on the car drinking a beer. And I went over there and I said, and introduced myself, and he told me his name was Johnny. And I said, "Johnny, I would like Dexter to ride the Sunday school bus tomorrow." He says, "I don't want anything to do with church. I don't care if he comes to church. I don't care if he gets on the Sunday school bus. Don't talk to me about church. If he wants to go, he'll have to get himself up. He'll have to get himself ready. I don't care." I went over and talked to the little boy. And I said, "Dexter, would you like to ride the Sunday school bus?" And he said, "Yes, I'd be glad to." I said, "Your dad told me you're going to have to get yourself up." He said, "I'll get up." And that Sunday morning, I pulled out front, and here comes Dexter running out and getting on the Sunday school bus. Nobody knows where he came or left. There wasn't a light on in the house. Dexter rode the bus for a couple weeks and got saved. About 6 weeks into Dexter riding the bus, I went by the house one Saturday afternoon and knocked on the door, and Johnny came to the door, and he wasn't drinking. And I said, "Johnny," I said, "is Dexter home?" He says, "Yeah, but I need to talk to you." And I said, "Is something wrong?" He says, "Yeah, something's wrong." I said, "What's wrong?" He says, "My son's different." I said, "What do you mean he's different?" He says, "Well, he comes home and says, 'Yes, sir,' and 'No, sir,' and 'Yes, ma'am,' and 'No, ma'am.' He takes out the trash without being told. He cleans up his room without being told. What'd you do to my son?" And I said, "I'll tell you what I did to your son." And that day, Johnny accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. That Sunday morning, Johnny, Lula, his wife, and Dexter came and got on the Sunday school bus. Johnny and Lula got baptized on that Sunday because Lula accepted the Lord. And as they got off the bus that Sunday afternoon, he said, "Would you talk to my oldest son, Anthony?" I didn't know there was an older son, Anthony. He was running with the gangs in Saginaw. I tried to find him for a couple weeks and we couldn't find him. And then we was running vacation Bible schools in backyards. And I asked John and Lula if we could use their backyard as a vacation Bible school. And they said yes. And Johnny made Anthony listen to the boys and girls say their Bible verses during the day. He made him listen to the songs that they were singing. And we had a young man over there preaching, and he made him listen to the preaching. And on Friday afternoon, Anthony accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And Anthony came to Sunday on the Sunday school bus with his parents. And I talked to him. I said, "Anthony, would you like to get baptized today?" And he said, "No, Brother Mitchell, would you come by my house on Thursday? I'd like to talk to you." So I went by the house on Thursday. Sat down and had a long talk with Anthony. He said, "Brother Mitchell, pray for me because I'm going to tell the gangs I'm getting out." That was the last time I saw Anthony alive. Because he did tell the gangs he was getting out. They pushed him off a 3-story building and killed him. Thank goodness a little boy got on a Sunday school bus. Thank goodness somebody said, "I'll go call him." Because a little Dexter, his mom and dad got saved. And his bigger brother got saved and taken out of the gangs. If Anthony could come back today, which he can, he would say, "Listen, there is a heaven. There is a place of everlasting beauty. There is a place where the streets are made of pure gold. There is a place where the gates are made out of pearl. There is a place of no more pain and no more sorrow. There is a place where Jesus is there and it's daylight all the time." Oh, think about that, folks. If for no other reason we run Sunday school buses and go soul winning, folks, hey, there is a heaven. And we've got to tell people there's a heaven. Then there's another young man. His name was Arnell. Arnell was 4 or 5 years old when he started riding my Sunday school bus. He was one of these boys you had to kick off all the time. I mean, he would drop at the fight of a hat at 4 years old. You look at him cross-eyed, he'd hit you. You step on his toes, he would hit you. He was just one of these kids that would just want to fight. And every other week, we was kicking him off the bus. And that went on until he was about 12 years old. And he decided he was too big to come to church. He started running with the gangs. At the age of 13, Arnell got shot 3 times. He got shot. A bullet grazed his head, a bullet went through his shoulder, and one went through his leg. His mother called me, and I went to the hospital. And I went into the emergency room where he was, and I said, Arnell, God spared your life for a reason. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he looked at me and he says, I've cheated death. I don't need God in my life. At the age of 13. For the next 3 years, he tried to get back at the gang that had shot him. He was in and out of juvenile. He was in and out of the jail. His mom called me right after he turned 16. She said, can you come to the hospital? He's been stabbed to death. What do you tell a mother that her son rejected the Lord Jesus Christ when he was 13? What do you tell a mother that when she said, do you think he's in heaven? And you have to say, no, because he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. If he could come back today, which he can't, he would say, listen, there is a hell. There is a place of everlasting torment. There is a place of everlasting fire. There is a place that there is pain and sorrow all the time. There's a place of gnashing of teeth. Please keep telling the boys and girls there's a hell of everlasting flames. Oh, folks, listen. If for no other reason we run buses and go soul winning, there is a hell. We don't want people to go to hell. We want people to go to heaven. That's why God leaves us on this earth, so we can go and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, folks, listen. If hell was real, if hell was here, let me ask you a very simple question. Let me ask you a very simple thing about hell. If you think about hell, this knife represents hell and everlasting flames. If I came to you and touched you with this knife, it would burn. Just imagine people dying in hell for the rest of their life and living in flames for the rest of their life. Oh, folks, listen. We can keep people out of hell. We can keep people from the everlasting flames. You know why? We can take it and we can give them the gospel and we can put out the flames of hell by giving them the gospel and seeing them get saved and giving them eternity in heaven. Folks, listen, there's a heaven and there's a hell. And we've got to keep these boys and girls and moms and dads out of hell. And we got to do it. And if we don't do it, folks, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? You know, somebody told you about heaven, didn't they? Somebody took some of their precious time and they went out of their way and they told you about heaven. Why don't we tell others about heaven? I got saved Easter Sunday, 1975, because a young lady I wanted to date said, you have to date me at my church. Parents, that's a good idea. I was a rebellious person back when I was out of high school. I was in ROTC for 4 years and I hated every minute of it. because I like my long hair. I couldn't have long hair in ROTC. But I would ask this young lady, I said, would you go out with me? She says, you have to ask my dad. I went to her dad and said, yeah, you can date my daughter in church. I sort of had long hair, had a full beard. I wore 4-inch platform heels. I wore 18-inch bell-bottom pants, and basically orange bell-bottom pants. I love orange fishnet shirt. The necklaces, I grew up in the hippie age. And she said, would you come to church for me on Easter Sunday, 1975? I didn't like church. I didn't want anything to do with church. I went on Sunday night, 1975. And I walked into that church, and she was sitting in the choir, and her mom was sitting next to her, and she said, well, look, hey, Charles Rickey came to church for you. And that young lady said she slid underneath the pew because she didn't want to be seen with me. I wouldn't want to be seen with me either. But that night, a little old preacher got up. I'm sitting in the very back pew next to the closest door I could get out of. And he's pointing right at me. He's telling me if you don't get saved, you could die and go to hell. I thank God for a young lady who invited me to come to church that night. And that lady's been my wife now for 38 years. I thank God for her every day of my life. But she was willing to say, would you come to church to hear the gospel? Oh, folks, we've got to give the people the gospel. We've got to. Young, old, little kids, we've got to give them the gospel. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Where do you want to spend eternity at today? I hope everybody will want to say, I want to spend eternity in heaven. But folks, listen, some of you don't know how to get to heaven. And I want to ask you this morning, where do you want to spend eternity? The Bible tells us that we're all sinners. We're all sinners. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, saved by the grace of God. The Bible tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one. I'm no good, folks. In God's eyes, I am no good. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. There's two types of death, a physical death and a spiritual death. But if your name's not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, guess what? You're cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And the reason God says, hey, I paid the penalty for your sins already, but God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is take that step this morning if you're not saved. I'm asking you, would you like to get to know Jesus as your Savior and ask him to come into your heart? Would you stand with your eyes closed and your